And welcome to the Friday edition for May 22nd, 2020. I'll be speaking with Steve Madrone.
Okay, very good. Well, Steve Madrone, 5th District Supervisor, how are things going for you on the coast?
Oh, you know, it is what it is, right? We're all going through quite an event here. But, you know, the rains the last 8 days have been magnificent.
Yes, good for our
salmon, good for our rivers, good to reduce the fire danger. So hopefully you guys shared in a lot of rain out there as well. It was pretty broad spread, and glad to have it.
Yes, definitely. It's been a pretty dry year.
Yeah, it's like now it's winter when we had summer all winter. So
Yeah, right.
Everything's flip-flopping.
It's a brave new world here. Yeah, brave new world we're into, and well, I'm looking forward to getting some updates from the Board of Supervisors.
You bet.
So I asked you a few questions here and put them out there. And where did I start here? COVID-19. What's that status like over there for you?
Yeah, well, as you know, the whole shelter-in-place process was developed to try and save lives. And flatten the curve, as they say, which meant to reduce the spread and the number of people infected in these beginning stages so that we could get our hospital capacity up to speed to be able to deal with the likely surge of cases and people needing to be hospitalized and be on ventilators and other things, because this virus affects the lungs pretty intensely. And so that has happened, and I applaud the community for all their hard work to shelter in place, to mask up when required, and to distance and sanitize, wash hands all the time. And the tribes have been exemplary, you know, working to close down the reservations to outside visitors to protect their elders and their community, and I applaud those efforts. I know there was some difficulty at first for HOOPA with the county, and I appreciate the work that the tribe did to work with Sheriff Hansel to try and find some agreement on how that might be able to work. I think the real issue was, you know, whether or not Highway 96 could be closed, as well as on the coast with the Yurok with Highway 101. But I appreciate how everybody worked through that. I know things aren't always perfect and ideal. But again, I do applaud the tribe for their work to keep their people safe. You know, so we did that for a couple months, right? Now here we are 2 months later or so, and everybody's getting pretty antsy. And for those that have lost their income, running out of food, and having other issues, this is severe. I mean, this is just an intense situation. So that's why I really, you know, hope that people are keeping an eye on their neighbors and the vulnerable in the community and helping out there. But what's happening now is people are getting tired of it. Some people think it's a hoax. Some people have turned it into a political thing. And it's very unfortunate because this is a deadly virus. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is something that kills people at great numbers compared to the flu or things like that. So I appreciate everybody taking it seriously and adhering to those measures. But as time is going on, it's hard to keep everybody in place. And so we're starting to reopen some businesses. We're asking them to have plans in place to protect their employees as well as customers, including sanitation stations, requiring to wear masks, physical distancing, all the things that we know we need to comply with. So there are a number of businesses that are included in what's called the Stage 2 openings, and you can find those on our website at humboldtgov.org. Under business resources, you can find all of the details about what businesses can be opening up. And there you can also find guidance for safety plans and a certificate of compliance so that businesses that have customers can submit their plan to the county, who then review it within a day or two and give approval to open up with those safety measures in place. And then the business can post that on their doors and that helps everybody know what practices are happening. And, you know, masking is required. It is mandatory. If you're going to go out, it is a mandatory requirement. It's no longer voluntary, at least at the county level. And people are adhering to that in varying degrees. So that's problematic. We do know that as we start opening things back up and as people are going out and about more and more people are choosing not to mask and not to distance, then it is going to spread. There's no doubt about that. And many of the experts in our area predict that the spread will reach its peak in June. So we haven't really seen that. So, you know, this is to happen. But, you know, keep yourself safe. And we have increased our testing capacity to be able to track clusters and to quarantine people and get them to self-isolate. And we also have increased our capacity at the hospitals and our medical centers and ventilators and all those things dramatically so that we are far better prepared now to help people. But we really still need to keep this thing in check. So that was a long statement, Joseph, but I hope that provides some detail.
That provides some really good detail and raises some more questions, too. Because I'm wondering, how about workers, people who are working in conditions where even though they're outside, they're still within the 6-foot distance and are not wearing masks?
Yeah.
So
well, it's foolish. I think it's foolish, and people are not only taking risks for themselves, but they're putting other people at risk by doing that. And hey, let's be honest, it's not that comfortable wearing a mask, but it's not that hard either, really. And there are a huge amount of people out there that are sewing masks. So if you need a mask, you know, check Facebook, check your neighbors. There are handmade masks that are available. Now, are they as effective as a N95 mask? No. And there is still some shortage of those N95 masks. And we're trying to keep those primarily available to healthcare workers and those on the front lines that have the chance of, you know, being around people that may be infected and such. But wearing a mask that's handmade, if worn properly, laundered regularly, you still need to not be touching their face and all that much, but they help. They help prevent the spread of droplets from ourselves to others and protect us from others. So, you know, you can't really regulate common sense, but the fact is it is a mandatory requirement to wear a mask, and it is a misdemeanor, and people may start getting cited and fined if they're not wearing masks and they're out and about. Now, there are valid reasons not to wear a mask. There are some people with medical conditions or other situations where they simply cannot do that. But here's the deal. If you're sick at all, if you think you're sick in any way, if you've got a fever, you know, stay home. That's always been the problem with the spread of flu and so many things, is that people don't stay home. And part of that is we don't have a really good sick leave policy to protect all of our communities. There's very little of that. And so people are working, barely making ends meet, and they get sick. Well, they still need to go to work. Or they have kids that are sick, but they can't afford to take off work because they have no sick leave. And so they send them to school, and we know this stuff just travels around and around. And so that's always been a problem, and it's a really bigger problem with COVID-19 because it's so deadly. So please, folks, wear a mask. It's required. It's not that hard.
And I've heard of other businesses, well, there's other radio stations in more populated areas, so they have more staff. And what they have done, the step measure that they've taken, is that they require everyone to take their temperature before they come to work.
That's right.
And so.
Yeah, and that's a good technique. I mean, but all that does is catch people that are currently showing symptoms.
Correct.
Right? So the thing about this virus is that you can be infected for a week or 2 weeks before you show symptoms. And you can transfer it to other people before you show symptoms. So taking a temperature at the entrance to the business, I know they're doing it at the county. You know, if you go into the county courthouse and the county buildings, they're going to take your temperature when you come into the building, write it down, blah, blah, blah. That's a good measure. It's easy. They just have a handhold thing. nothing goes in your mouth or anywhere, and you just, you know, boom, they can get it. But that's not fail-proof, right? It's just an additional precaution. And all of these help: masking, distancing, taking temperatures, hand washing all the time, and really, you know, sudsing up. And they say that you should say happy birthday to yourself, like two whole stanzas of it, right, while you're washing your hands. All those things matter.
Yes, absolutely. And some offices or doctor's offices give you a survey before you come in and ask you about, have you been feeling ill, or have you been near anybody that was feeling ill?
That's right.
So they, that's a filtering system that they have.
Yeah.
So we got to always reschedule you. Yeah. Those are always good precautions to do.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And you asked the question, do people feel safe? And I would say that if you're going out and you're coming into a business that has a certificate of compliance on the door and a hand washing station at the door, and it has a sign that says mask required for entry, and the business really makes sure that's happening, you know, that people are actually masking and doing their best to distance and all those things, I would say I feel a lot safer going into a business like that. If I go to a business that doesn't have any signage, maybe the employees are wearing masks, but there's lots of customers that aren't, and they're getting next to each other. And, you know, from what I'm hearing from businesses is that in the last few weeks, there have been people that have been really gnarly and almost violent in your face, refusing to wear masks. And, you know, the business has the choice. They don't have to allow anybody into their business for any reason, as long as it's not discriminatory, just, you know, refuse to serve, right? But there are businesses that are choosing to make money and not require that of people because they think that they'll push customers away by requiring masks. And I think it's the opposite. I think that, you know, those businesses that are requiring masks and adhering to the distancing and doing all the measures they can are the ones that people are going to frequent in this time, and that over time people will be more discerning about that. Maybe not today, but as the count goes up, you know, we have, what, a month where it was 0, 0, 0, 0, and now suddenly we're getting 4 new a day, 5 new a day. These are new clusters that are developing, and each time you get a new cluster, the chance of spread, you know, mathematically, it doesn't just double, but it's geometric. It explodes, basically. And so when this thing gets even more serious in the coming weeks, it's going to be those businesses that are trying to comply and keep people safe that I believe people will be frequenting because they're going to feel safer there.
Yeah, I feel really safe here at the Hoopa store and the Mini Mart because they are very good. Everybody's masked. You can't get in there unless you have a mask. And
It's on the coast, it's been variable. I mean, most businesses are doing really great, but some are being pretty arrogant. Bottom line, the money, the almighty dollar.
Yeah, well, don't know what to say about that. But
yeah.
Or
well,
do
I mean,
know what to say about
work.
That.
We need our income. Yeah. You know? I mean, people are suffering. I get all that. But this is a real difficult balancing act.
Well, I don't know how federal governments are going to regulate stimulus funds, but there's got to be an end someplace.
Yeah, that's
And then
right.
What's that going to cost us in the future?
Yeah, that's exactly.
How are we going to balance that out?
Oh, boy, the budgets are shot for everybody, everybody. You know, it is a this is worse than the recession of 08, and it's starting to approach the recession in terms of unemployed and everything else. So definitely a lot of economic hardship.
So so now we're on the verge of spring again.
Yeah.
So the temperatures are going to rise, but then we still got the June coming up when we think it's going to peak. So what does the future look like? We're going to have warmer weather and people are going to be wanting to come inland. And so is there any discussion about that in the Board of Supervisors?
Well, there has been, but I'm going to bring this up specifically with the sheriff, the health officer, and our board at some of our updates coming up later this week, because we have not really discussed in detail what are we going to do about this surge of people wanting to hit all of our natural resource areas. this weekend is clearly going to be that first big challenge with Memorial Day weekend. I can tell you that from my perspective, from what I hear, I think that most people applaud the tribes for shutting down the reservations to protect their families and elders. And I think most people respect that and understand that. But I do know that the draw to go out to the river is going to be huge, whether it's Tishtang or in the valley or other places. But as we know, there is a lot of river area that's outside of the reservation. And people really need to try and carefully select where they're going to go and spread out. I know that's what we do as a family. If I pull up and the parking lot's full or even a lot, I move on and find another spot, whether it's the beach or the river. But I do think we as a board really do need to talk with the sheriff and the health officer about how we're going to handle that in terms of what kind of educational information we want to send out to people, maybe signage, other things. But we want to continue to support the tribes' desire to protect themselves. And so, whatever we can do to do that, I'm going to be pushing for. So, but lots of details to work out on that, absolutely.
Okay, well, I look forward to continued reports on that. And is there any special message you'd like to share with the listeners here in Hoopaw or the leadership in Hoopaw?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for all you're doing to try and keep each other safe and keep an eye on each other. This is truly a time for doing that where, keeping an eye on each other really matters. And if there's something that I can help with, I'm going to give out my phone number here and my email, if that's okay, Joseph.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
And people could contact me with any issues, any questions, help that they think I could provide the community. Please contact me. My cell phone number is 707-476-2395. That's 707-476-2395. And my email is smadrone, just like the tree, smadrone@co.humboldt.ca.us. That's smadrone@co.humboldt.ca.us. And I thank you very much for the community service you do, Joseph. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for cooperating with us. I really appreciate your insight on this. And when I post this recording on our website, I'll also make sure that those telephone numbers and email addresses are visible right there, too.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for your service.
You bet. Stay safe.
You too.
Play the music.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've been talking with Steve Madrone, 5th District Representative for the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors. Joseph Orozco reporting. Thank you for listening.